encouragement, not correction. Or correction and encouragement, whichever way. But I promise you, don't look. You know, I used to jog a lot. And I found out that this little short-legged outfit is not a jogger. And the way that I could jog a lot was to look straight down and not look far off. You know what happens when you run and you look far off at the goal? You get discouraged. You think you're never going to get there. So you know what I did? I just put one foot in front of the other, believing all the time that I would make it not only out but back. And every time it happened. Amen? That's the way you do it. God's word is always true. His promises always happen. You take them one step at a time, always knowing that you're going to reach the goal. All right. Now, Father, this is your time. These are your people. This is your word. I know you laid it on my heart. Would you please, please, please help me this morning to get out what you've laid on my heart, at least in part, for the next time to continue. God, I'll give you praise and thanks in advance that you do that to help your people. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you will turn to Ephesians. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to give you kind of an introductory scripture or two. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Let's start with 22. Actually, 23. I have this wonderful Bible program. And it seems like every time they update it, they mess it up. So sometimes when I make a mistake, it's not always my misreading. It's sometimes the computer puts things in here that shouldn't be. It's got a little mind of its own. They'll get it corrected. Praise the Lord. If I were going to title this today, it would be It's a Wonderful Life. Or The Beautiful Bride, Part 1. Now, I'm not a hype artist, in case you don't know this. I am not a hype artist. I know some ministers that can stand up and preach with volume and certain influence and just make you feel like you've been poured full of light. And most of the time when you go home, it seems to empty out. Now, what I am going to do this morning is tell you what the Word says, which is to build you up and to edify you. The same thing. One is hype, one is truth. If you want to be built up this morning, then I want you to believe that you're going to be built up. Don't make me sweat bullets and spit big clods to pump you up. Just believe that it's going to happen. And watch God pull out of me what you need to hear. Amen? Wednesday night, there was a subject that came up about holiness and righteousness. And that gripped me that night and it hasn't let me go this week. And God kept pounding, and so I did my research. Oh, my word, all day yesterday. And that's a big subject. It's a huge subject. That's why I said that, good. Well, we're going to hit it again. And we're going to hit it again. Maybe the next three Sundays. I don't know. Just depends on if I showed you my stack of notes, you'd worry about it. But I won't give it all to you today. There is a the end on this for today. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Put on the new man which was created according to God. Did you get that? Not according to man's belief about God, not according to religion, but look at that. I'm going to read it again. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I want to edify you this morning. I want to build you up because the Bible says that you are a new man. You're created, put it on, the new man, the creation according to God's design. And what it will look like when you get it on is holiness and righteousness. But Stan, no man can be holy and righteous. Don't argue with me and don't argue with God. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm reading you the Word. It says, be that and do that. So just be it and do it. Put it on. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Our government instituted a welfare system quite some time ago, which is anti-Christ. It is anti-Christ as it can be. The Bible says go to work so that you can give to those that have need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Holiness and righteousness is not just for you. It's so that you may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now turn to 1 Peter 2:9. One more verse that I'll read before I really wear your fingers out. 1 Peter 2:9. Once again, you'll notice that this scripture does not put God's will to a vote. It does not allow you to think of yourself as you will. Did you hear that? The scripture that I just read, the one that I'm fixing to read. That's Texas way of saying things. Fixing to read, yeah. I like that word. We're going to go down and eat fixins in just a little bit, too. So maybe that's why it's got such a good sound. God has not put up to vote or for a vote your name, what you put on, and who you are. I think I've been tricked in church before, and I'm getting out of that. I'm telling you, you do not have a vote. God's opinion. He's the tree planted by the water. His mind doesn't change. Okay? 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. But you are a royal priesthood. But you are a holy nation. And you are a peculiar people. That you should show forth, this is why, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You didn't choose your calling. You don't have a vote on that. You didn't choose where you're peculiar. You don't have a vote on it. You didn't choose being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Anybody that says anything different about you goes against the will of God. Oh, that's good. God has given you some names. Anybody that calls you any other name but that goes against the will of God. Shall I say that enough to where you believe it? Maybe if that's all I said today, we'd be in good shape. Anybody that calls you or says anything about you except what God says is against God. There's one, there's two. You see what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for you to agree with what God says about you. I know this, that God, when he names you, when he dresses you in this one scripture, put on the new man, when he dresses you, he does it for a purpose. He never wastes his time. When he saved you, he did it for a purpose. When he called you, he did it for a purpose. You didn't sneak in without notice. You didn't sneak in. I know you thought that was your idea, but it wasn't. The Bible says he called you before the foundations of the earth, before you ever had an idea. Actually, your conception was his idea. God said there was this earth without form and void. He had an idea. Let's conceive a new earth. Boom, there was a new earth. One day, way back there, God says, you know what? This world don't have a stand. I got an idea. Let's have a stand. And stand came forth. And then he began to say, I want him to be confident. I want him to be an overcomer. I want him to rule and reign. I want him to put on my likeness and image and be righteous and holy. And I'm not going to argue with him. Every time I do, I lose. What's the purpose? So he offered a great life, a wonderful life, full of purpose, holy and pure. And because of His work and His design, I can be righteous, not only in God's eyes, but in other people's eyes. Not by my design, but by His. For the singular purpose of drawing other people to Him. The only purpose. Not to make me look good, but to make Him look good. This may be a hard fact to accept. But to be the bride that we should be, we are required to accept it as a fact and walk in it for Him and others. Now today I'm going to begin this. I don't know how far we get, but we'll just continue until we get it, okay? I want to give you some definitions. We're going to talk about righteousness and holiness, but no way are we going to touch them both today. We're going to touch a part of one. Holiness, according to Strong's, according to Thayer's, dictionaries and lexicons, the word is hagios. It means sacred. It means physically pure. Are you listening? This is holiness. The definition of the word holiness. It means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated. Morally blameless and consecrated. It also comes from another word called hagiosmos, osmosis. It means a purifier. It comes from the effect of consecration. Consecration makes holiness. As one that is holy, the word hagiosmos would apply to you as a purifier or the effect of consecration. Now, there's very little difference. The word holy, where it's Holy Spirit to be holy or holy saints, is nearly all the first one that I talked about, which was sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, and consecrated. The word saint is that word. Every time you see the saint word saint in the New Testament, it's that word. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is hard to swallow. And I don't know how many different ways I'm going to say this. But you're not holy in my eyes. Because you're not sacred and physically pure and morally blameless and a purifier. And by the way, I'm not in yours. This is a word used by God about you. Not another man about you. God never says in His Word that you be holy to draw people to Christ. Because there's only one person in the whole world that can see, I know that can see Bob as holy, is God. That's the only person that can see me as holy, is God. But you know what? He does. He does. He sees me as holy. Consecrated, sacred, and pure. I thought about when we were singing the song this morning, we're standing on holy ground, that I could hear God singing with us as He stood in me saying, I'm standing on holy ground. That's what I saw. God singing with us as He was in me. I'm standing on holy ground. I hope you get, over a period of time, I hope you begin to see yourself as God sees you. And not as your wife or your ex-wife or your ex-girlfriend or your brother or sister, aunt, uncle, enemy has told you. Now I'm going to give you, by the way, I wrote down this little note so that you can get an idea. I have seen some parents. I saw one the other day, in fact. It was the ugliest little baby I ever saw in my life. Just ugly. It wasn't a little baby. It was a kid. Just, in fact, it was at Karen's birthday party. It wasn't Karen, but it was Karen's birthday party. And there was a couple sitting there, and this kid was big old round face, pudgy cheeks, ugly. And it had food all over its face and, you know, stuff running out of its nose. And the mom just gave it a big old poof, said, come here, you are the prettiest little thing. And I'm going, but that makes sense with what we're talking about here. Because it's in the eye of the beholder. She didn't ask my opinion. In fact, she didn't want my opinion. In fact, she might have got upset if I'd have told her my opinion. Just as God would. Just as God would. When He tells me how pretty I am, You better not argue. He's got a right to his opinion. Now, I wrote down here, this is how I see my bride. I really don't care what you think about her looks or her attitude. It's my opinion that counts. And you go to telling me your opinion and don't agree with mine, I just might get aggravated at you. In fact, I'll guarantee it. Sin's definition. His perfect character given to us. His perfect character given to us. A gift from God, purchased by our groom, Jesus. Given to you and I by Jesus. We are required to accept this custom-made gift. It said put it on, didn't it? It's custom-tailored for each and every individual. We are required to accept this custom-made gift, put it on, and wear it for Him. It can be seen only by Him. Our perfection because of His perfect work and His perfect eyes. When He calls me holy, it's because He sees perfect. You have the distorted vision. Can you say that about yourself? I want you to say that about yourself. If God says that you are holy, that He's given you this ward, this robe, and put it on, and I'll see you perfect, then please don't ask your neighbor if that's okay. Just do it. And then when you put it on, and God says, just as I pictured it, then you don't say, wait a minute, I don't agree. Now, let's go to the definition of righteousness. The word is dikaios. Forget what the Greek words are. The definition is innocent and just in character or act. Innocent or just in character or act. Another form of it. Observing divine laws, being upright, virtuous, keeping the commands of God, innocent, guiltless, listen to this, approved by or acceptable to God. Another form of it. A reason for existing and a right to properly exist. A reason for your existence and a right to exist in that. Given by God. Now let me tell you the difference between holiness and righteousness. Holiness can only be seen by God. Righteousness is required to be seen by others. Are you hearing me? Holiness, your beauty, your perfection, your purity, never making a mistake, can only be seen by God, I assure you. But when you move into the righteousness area, there's something that happens when you put on the new robe that God gave you, and He sees you as perfect, that when you walk the streets, when you do your work, you obey the commands of God and the laws of God. You're pure and you're holy and you're consecrated to God. Remember in holiness, we talked about the consecration, the perfection? When God sees that, He causes you to change and He causes other eyesights to change. Why? Because He has a job to do in you. What's His job in you? To draw other men, women to Him. Therefore, they have to see something in you that's different than in the world. It's required. Why don't you just accept it? Here's what you do. Here's the formula. If you will be innocent, it will show. You're going to make some mistakes, but there won't be selfishness behind it. You hearing me? You will make mistakes. I will make mistakes. You'll do it innocently, and God will cover you. And other people are going to be required to see it. Fairness will start coming forth in you because you are wearing that thing that God custom made from Himself for you. Fairness will start coming out. People will see it. You will begin to observe the divine formulas or laws of God. Please, I'll back all this up with Scripture over the time. But it's going to be required of you to obey the divine law of God. You're going to want to. You're going to want to. And people are going to see the want to. Not the perfect walk, the want to. That's righteousness. They're going to see that you're guiltless, that you don't carry other people's blood on your hands. You know what else? They're going to begin to see that you are accepted by God. I just made a big statement. They're going to begin to see that you are accepted by God. I hate to tell you this, but this is the truth. This all doesn't happen the first trip to the altar. It comes over a period of time. You and others will begin to see the reason that you exist. You and others will begin to see the reason you exist. And you begin to know that you have a right to walk in that reason. I'm saying a lot of things. I'm saying them slow so you can kind of... You begin to understand that you have a reason, God's will, for existing. And you begin to understand, I have the right to walk in that. That's righteousness. Why? Because you are right. Innocent. That's the biggest thing. You don't take a call because it's lucrative. You take it in innocence, saying, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. There's more to this definition in the Strong's and the Thayer's. It's the lifestyle that's acceptable to God. It includes integrity and virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking. Did you know there's correct and incorrect ways of thinking? I introduced it right here in this first thing. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed today. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. You're required to think correct. The very first act of thinking correct is to believe anything God says. Anything. If you stumble on one thing, you're still not correcting thinking correct. I'm thinking correct, my tongue's not. There's another form of this righteous word. What has deemed right, what has been deemed right so as to have force of law. Come on, that sounds nearly complicated. You need to catch this. I had to read this about three times before I caught this. This is Thayer's definition. What has been deemed right so as to have force of law. Now let me say this another way. When God says something over you, about you, that is right. And it is backed up by law. Come on, you guys should get excited about that. What God has said over you and about you, one of them is holiness and righteousness. We've mentioned several other names this morning. Overcoming One. That's a good one. I could just stay on top of that one. Overcoming One. Healthy One. Abundant One. Wise One. Those things God has said over you. He doesn't lie. He's not a man. He doesn't even know how to lie. He only speaks the truth. And when you speak the truth, all of heaven backs it up because it's law. That's what righteousness is. What has been established. What has been ordained by law. A judicial decision sentenced by God. I like this one. God, the judge, sat up there one day and with his gavel hit the desk and said, Stan is righteous. Stan is holy. Y'all putting your name in there? The definition. A judicial decision sentenced by God. Sentenced to what? Well, to righteousness and holiness and all of its benefits. And all of its benefits. And we're going to go through some of those benefits this morning. Take a small step forward. Let me give you my definition after all these other things. Mine is not better, but sometimes it's clearer. Because I sometimes get all stumbled up in Greek and Hebrew and Strong's and Thayer's and all this stuff. Listen, His character, not my character, not your character, but His character, shown forth through His bride, by our desire, by our love, and our dedicated effort to please Him. This is where righteousness comes from. It'll never come out of a selfish individual. It comes out of His character shown forth through His bride by our desire, our love, and dedicated effort to please Him. It's what others see our walk of loyalty, our walk of fidelity, our walk of faithfulness to our groom, Jesus. I promise you, I already know this by experience. I won't talk about future. I'll talk about past. We had a nice paid-for house in Texas. We were living on thousands of acres. We had all kinds of horse pasture we needed. She had several horses in the back. We had all the room to ride them, no fences, nothing. We had an 8-inch irrigation well pouring out fresh water right beside our house. I mean, there was an 8,000-acre game preserve button right up against ours. And we didn't owe any man anything but love. And God said to me one day, Stan, you got to move. You know what I did? I went to my wife and I said, we got to move. I didn't get one argument. She just packed. Now that is the picture of the groom and the bride. That's the picture. That's what causes people to see loyalty and fidelity. Hearing me? God says, you're my bride. I say move, move. I'll take care of it. Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. So, what others see, our walk of loyalty, fidelity, faithfulness to our groom Jesus, the rest. The outflow of living with and in Christ that others see. Righteousness is the outflow of living with and in Christ that others see, that causes a desire for Jesus in others. You know what? I'm going to tell you what came out of the woodwork when I said to my wife, move, she just packed. The whisper was, I wish I were like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the bride and groom relationship spiritually. That when you see someone obey Christ, it causes in the next person to say, I want to be like that. Like what? It's not like that person. It's like Jesus. Because that's what you're seeing. Loyalty, honesty, love, and integrity that flows from Him through us. Did you hear me? I know this is a teaching. Listen. It's the only way you get taught. Listen. Loyalty, honesty, love, and integrity that flows from Him through us into someone else. That's righteousness. Big letters, if you're making notes, reflection of perfection. Righteousness, reflection of perfection. You want to be reflection of perfection? Well, that was too quiet. Do you want to be reflection of perfection? You got to tell God, I want to be that. I want to be what you call me. I want to be what you think of me. You want me to reflect to others? I want to be that. I want to draw people to you. In fact, say it this way, even if you're not sure you mean it, that's all I want to be. I want to work for that cause. I don't want to work for money. I want to be that call. I don't want the call. I want to be the call. All right. I want to go to begin with holiness again. This is all we're going to hit today. We'll get righteousness a little later. I'm going to hit holiness. Remember what I said. Sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated. A purifier, the effect of consecration. It's how I see my bride. It's the only way that I can see my bride. Nobody else can see my bride like that. I can only be seen like that in God's eyes. Don't try to be holy. You can't be holy. You are holy. That's what God says. Don't argue. Okay. I'm going to read you a number of scriptures here, but listen. This is a gift from God. It says, put on the new man that God created. Didn't it say that? Okay. A gift that it cannot be returned without penalty. If you try to return this gift, you're going to be sorry. Hebrews chapter 6. You might just write these down because I'm going to begin to cover some ground here. Hebrews 6, 3 through 6, or 4 through 6. 4 through 5, no matter what my computer says. Hebrews 6, 4 through 5. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. What heavenly gift? Holiness. Forgiveness. purification, consecration, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, the same word holy that He calls you, saints. Once you become partakers of that and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, it is six, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. I don't even want to know how close I've come to that over and over and over by arguing with God about my value. I'm standing here to tell you that when you try to deny the work that God has done in you, you are saying, let's crucify Jesus again, once wasn't enough. That's what you're saying. I believe, I'm going to tell you, please believe with me, believe that when Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins, that you were totally cleansed. That makes you totally pure. And when you decide that that's true, that you put on this new man that God creates, that you become totally holy in God's eyes. And by the way, when it comes time to judge, that's all that counts. He's never going to ask somebody else's opinion about you. He will ask your opinion, but He'll not ask anybody else's. Just make your opinion agree, just make sure your opinion agrees with His. Don't argue. I'm going to tell you some of the benefits of understanding holiness. And I'm going to tell you that in Scripture. Right. You get a gift of life when you receive the new man. In Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Are you found with child? Have you received that new life that can only be formed by God? That's me. You get a gift of zeal and fire. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm telling you something. Fire is not only purification, but it gets you going. Gift of zeal and fire. You get a gift of protection. Matthew 12:32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, the same word is saint, it shall be not forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The more I get into Scripture, the more I understand God's opinion of me, and it's high. My opinion of me is not high, but God's opinion of me is high. Let me say it again. My opinion sometimes is very low of me. And that's what I have to crucify. And what I get out of that is the Holy Ghost that lives in me. And anybody that says anything against the Holy Ghost, it'll not be forgiven them. Maybe that's why we should be so careful about how we speak about each other. A gift that gives place and position. And by the way, don't try to think back now about all the bad things you said. The devil's good about trying to remind you that. You were innocent of that until now. Now you know better. Don't let him take you back there and try to drag you through the manure. You're cleansed of that. A gift that gives place and position. Matthew 24:15. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth this, let him understand. It doesn't make any difference what's going on around you. You can tell me the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't care. The Bible says that when you see it, stand in the holy place. Do you understand in your King James that's a little H? Because it's talking not about the Holy Spirit, but about the place God's given you called holy. Right, it's a place. I have position. Where I'm standing is holy. Don't try to get in my place because it's holy. You, I will not get in your place because it's holy. It belongs to God, as you do. And it's dangerous to come against that. A gift that gives hope for the future and family. Matthew 27:52. Hope for the future and for family. Matthew 27:52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Saints, 40, holy. It's exactly the same word. Please let me try to explain this to you. There's a number given to every Greek and Hebrew word. There's a number that goes back to the original text. It's given a number. It would like in English. I'm not going to try to analyze too much. Yeah. And when it was translated into English, the number 40 came out several different ways. It never changed its definition in the original language, but it was used with a different picture for English. Okay? If you ever want to do a great study, get an Englishman's concordance and look up a word, holy, number 40, hagios, and see that saints was the English translation of the word holy. It says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the holy ones which slept arose. That gives me place now. It puts me in a family, and it gives me what I know to happen in the future. It tells me future. You can bury me deep, and I'm coming out. Now and then. So don't think you've won. It's a cleansing gift. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Remember I said a purifier? Remember the definition, purifier? You don't stop with me. You don't stop with me, Bill. This isn't the last post of the Holy One. It was given so it can be given. Gift that gives authority and power. Mark 12:36. Mark 12:36. For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hey, Holy One, you got any power? Don't argue with God. You got power. His words over you is just set still while I make your enemies your footstools. Say, that's me, and I'm not going to lie against the word. A gift that gives joy. What's the gift? The gift of the new man created by God, like God, in His image. For you, you're in His image. A gift that gives joy. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You think there was a party going on there? It started with the one inside that was filled. And then the one on the outside was filled. Is that you? If I can get the one inside on me filled, I promise you the outside's going to show. It's going to look righteous. Praise God. A gift that gives truth and future and history. Luke 1:70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Listen, his holy prophets. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. You know, I'm getting a new understanding of what I'm doing up here this morning. If it's God, tell him yes. If I'm a saint, if you're a saint, I'm not asking your opinion. That's what God says about me. Then I'm also a holy one. And when I speak as a holy one. Two holy ones. Not by how good we are, how pretty we are, rich we are, healthy we are, but by the gift that God gave. Amen? And it says, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began. And it's not over yet. There are still holy prophets. There are still saints speaking holy things. Holy saints speaking holy things. Just say, that's me. A gift that gives contract and promise. Luke 1:72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. One of the things that we're given is the holy covenant. It's contract, it's promise, it's truth. My word, do you understand? The world can't understand that. Listen to me, holy saints. The world cannot understand the covenant and contract that God has given us. So they say, no, it doesn't work. We have to make a choice. We decide yes it does or no it doesn't. If I say no it doesn't, I'm not a holy one. God's word contract covenant works. By the way, let me remind you, he said of you in his covenant, put this on and you're a holy one. And it works. A gift that gives eternal life. Luke 2:26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Listen to me. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. Have you had that revelation yet? Or every time your heart goes pitter-patter, do you worry and take a glycerin pill? Come on, I'm talking to you, Holy One. Do you duck and run every time some little health threat comes your way? Or do you remember that the Holy Ghost has revealed to you, you will not see death? By the way, if I keel over dead right in front of you this morning, I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I was up here preaching, and all of a sudden I'm in heaven singing. And I didn't even know when it happened. So I have nothing to fear. That's revealed only by the Holy Spirit. And if I'm a holy one, we commune. A gift that gives family and name. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Oh, that was only said about Jesus. Baloney. Tie it outside. I'm not letting that bull in here. Listen to me. I will say it again. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape and said, This is my Son. This bird brain standing in front of you this morning. The Holy Ghost standing in a bodily shape saying, You are a son and a daughter of God. No difference between then and now. Same God, same Spirit, saying the same thing. Yesterday, today, and forever. Gives me goosebumps. Y'all be dead. I am excited about this. I'm excited about this. This means a lot to me. This is telling me who I am. This is what the Holy Spirit wants through the Word. A gift that gives direction. Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How do I get direction? All I got to do is follow, since I am a holy one. I am drawn to the Holy One. Now remember, we're not going righteous yet. That's later. I'm still dealing with Holy One right now. A gift that gives provision. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil. How many of you have been called evil by other people other than me? Okay. That's who we're talking about. Those that have been called evil. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know what? Let me tell you something. This is a person, the Holy Spirit, but it's far beyond that. In this verse, it's far beyond that. It's the holiness of God given to you. The provision of God. The thoughts of God about you given to you. How much more? It's far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked. Far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked. You just got to, you know what you got to do? You got to be like that little mouth of the bird in that nest. You don't ask mama bird or papa bird what it is. You just open your mouth and swallow it. That's where you have to be here today. Because I know this isn't easy to accept. I'm telling you Scripture. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. Open your mouth. Swallow it. And let God do the righteousness work in you. Watch it happen. You know what? I encourage you in this. Look in the mirror every day and watch God make you better right in front of your eyes. That's the excitement about listening to this Word and swallowing it. A gift that gives wisdom and confidence. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. It looks like that of all people, this scripture would mean something to me, and it does. But why just today? Why can I understand that this is for you and I all the time? Don't worry about what's going to happen. Somebody puts a mic under your nose, don't worry about it. Because it says the Holy Spirit's going to speak. Can you believe that? If you can't believe it, you'll never speak. A gift that gives wisdom and peace. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, the Holy One, the Saint, all things, and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Do you realize the promise in that? Because you receive the fact that you're a Holy One, because you don't no longer have this forgetful mind, that you have the mind of Christ, the Holy One, that anything that God's ever said to you in your entire life through preaching or visions or dreams, that can be brought to your remembrance as needed, and you don't have anything to say about it, the Holy One does. The one in you, the one that resides close to you, that speaks. And all I have to do is remember that He can do that. That's all I have to remember. Then I have to believe it. Can He do it? You think He's capable of doing that? A gift that gives wisdom and peace. A gift that gives variety. You're going to like this one. I just bent it a little bit, but it still works. Acts 2:4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That just don't always mean things you can't understand. It also means things that you do understand and wonder where they came from. Whether it be out of the jackass that you're looking at or the jackass that they're looking at. Where'd that come from? Oh, that was good. Man, if y'all don't enjoy that, you need to get into that. You need to listen to what other people are saying and listen to what you're saying. And see if you can't get blessed. Be attentive. Because the Holy One's going to speak. That's a promise. And you're going, whoa, that was good. I like that. You can do that. It's your promise. A gift, nearly through for today, that gives forgiveness. A gift that gives forgiveness. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not some fuzzy feeling. The Holy Ghost is a life form to replace your life form. It is not somebody that you call on to give you power for the moment, like a turbo boost. He is a life form that has consumed your life form. And He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the one that's going to show forth righteousness through this unrighteous dirt. He's going to show forth. The gift that restores and gives vision. Acts 3:21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. He's going to restore restitution. He's going to restore all things. He's going to restore all things. Are you hearing me? Not one cent, not one dollar, not one day, not one thing that we've ever lost is lost. It's going to be restored. And that's a law, if I believe it. It's a law in effect. And in my life, this very moment, in this church's life, this very moment, in every individual, there are things, if you believe this, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One that's in you, you the Holy One, is being restored now. Nothing that's ever been stolen from you went without notice because it was stolen from God Himself, the Holy One. And He don't like it. And He's into the restitution of all things. You better expand your fences just a little bit. You better get a second bank account. You better get some new clothes that fit the new being. You hearing me? You better think some new ways. The devil will attend to you 20 times a minute if necessary. And you must say, not one minute, not one cent, not one day is lost. No matter what I see or think, I don't believe my lying eyes, I believe the Word of God. Now listen, this is not a third or a fourth of the notes that I have about holiness. And as I was going this morning and ran way past my prep time, I realized that if I didn't quit, I was going to run way past any other time. So I just put the end for the moment. Be in for the moment. I do that out of respect for you, as it should be. Just in case I ran short, though, I brought some more. Oh, maybe full page, though. That's the trouble. Check me out. See if I know. She knows. This gift that we've been speaking of is a gift from Jesus Christ, paid for by Jesus Christ. The price of the gift was His life. The price of this gift was His life. All we have to do is yield ourselves to this free gift, put it on, accept it, and walk in it. What a deal. What a deal. I wrote in there, let's go for it. All of it. The hardest part I have with me, so I'll confess the hardest part I have with you, is that to get you to believe the Word of God. I don't understand this. I don't understand it about me, and I surely don't understand it about you. I'm a lot less patient with you than I am with me. I want you to believe what God says, not what Stan says. That's why I'm going to pound you with more Scripture and more Scripture and more Scripture, so you know that it's not my idea and I'm not trying to pervert the Word. I'm not going to take one Scripture and make it 411 ways. I'm going to pound you with the Scripture that's in the Bible. And if you won't believe me, I'm going to brainwash you. Maybe you'll just be a cult of holy people. And I promise you, there'll be no suicide. Because I'm not into sacrificing that much. The Bible requires of me the death of the inner man, not the outer man. The outer man in Jesus Christ was killed, was died on the cross one time. We don't need no other martyrs. We're not going to get on a rocket ship and escape. We're not going to go to Africa and die. Because it don't help God one little bit. My life is what He can use to help, not my death. Don't be afraid when I say brainwash. It's going to be the Word. That's all it's going to be. I swear. I ask you for sure to be back for part 2, 3, whatever. I put a question mark after that. I don't know. I promise you this. It will bless you. But most of all, it'll benefit the kingdom of God. That's the important thing. Bill, I think I'm going to end today. I don't know why, but I am. I want you to stand with me. And I want number one, and please, I'm going to go up here, Bill. If somebody wants to come pray, and anybody, not just Bill, but anybody, you need to be quick to volunteer to pray with people that come. Anybody that feels like they're not tied in to what we talked about today, you need to come down and pray. You don't need to fall on your face and weep unless God tells you to. You don't need to confess anything to anybody unless God tells you to. What you need to do is get locked in to this power called the Holy Ghost. The power to change you from the inside out. I'm not asking you to speak in tongues. I'm not asking you to do anything. What good does it do for me to ask you? I'm asking you to do what God tells you to do. Give God praise. I promise you that you'll never be asked to confess anything or repent from anything that God doesn't replace 100-fold. Faithful. No telling what will happen. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I remember a sermon that I preached a few months ago where my wife quit drinking coffee and Tanya backed up on Pepsi or quit. I don't know what all she did. And it was amazing to me that people sat at the dinner table we were at and said, God spoke to me about quitting this or starting this. And I'm going, I didn't say anything about that. What in the world are you talking about? That's kind of the way I feel when you begin to confess. Okay, praise God. I don't know. But I give God glory no matter what. He's in control and He's speaking anything He wants to speak, and I thank you for that. Anybody else? You want to pray? You need somebody to pray with you about anything? You know you're not worthy. That's the first thing the devil wants to tell you. You don't deserve a nice home. You know, looking back all those bad things you've done, he'll be quick to point that out. He is a liar. He is a liar. And I'm telling you something. God wants for you the very best of everything. The very best of everything. So I would encourage the congregation to agree with her as God is speaking that she gets her home far beyond, greater than anything you imagined. But you've got to be faithful to give Him the credit. Openly. Because that's how righteousness is revealed. And that will go for everybody in it that has a need. I don't understand, but Bill is still suffering from back problems. I know that's a lie from hell. What I ask for you guys to agree today is the manifestation of the already known healing now occurs. We already know he's healed. The Bible says so. But we're agreeing for that he receives the manifestation. Amen, Bill? The manifestation of that. And we'll not be satisfied until he gets it. Ken, if you want a prayer request, a prayer line, or whatever you call a chain, please keep that in your mind, that we fight for his manifestation every day. Amen. 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 Anything else? Amen. Amen. We even read some scripture about that, that the Holy Spirit will open to her, not only her mind, but speak to her. Amen. We need confirmation. We don't need to be afraid to ask God to confirm things, because he's into that. He will confirm with signs following. That's what it says. So why don't we just speak that it's clear to her, and that she won't be afraid to accept the clarity, whatever that is, whatever God speaks to you, that you'll be afraid to accept the answer. Now, you'll do whatever he says? Okay. Then we're in total agreement. The Holy One, the saint, this saint is going to do what God tells her to do.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else? Oh, Amanda. She may need an interpreter. That's your head. That's just brain cells growing. Sometimes what?
It hurts.
It hurts? Well, the hurt's got to go away.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
This is a daughter of God, a saint, a holy one.
Yes.
And no weapon formed against her will prosper. And
yes.
We apply that word to her now. Yes. More than that, we speak confidence into her that only the Holy Spirit can give her. God, give her faith beyond her little age, or her young age. Give her faith way beyond that, so that she becomes the minister, not always the minister to.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Sam, I want to speak to you just for a second. And I think there's another gentleman in here right now that will know that I'm talking to him too, but I'll speak to you. You're at a crossroads in life, a very serious one. In the last few days, and that's part of the feeling that you got from me yesterday in a phone conversation, I've become very aware of the fact that you're not only in a serious but a dangerous crossroads in life. You're going to have to make some choices in the next few minutes and hours and days that are going to affect the rest of your life. And I mean greatly affect them. You're kind of at this Y that you can continue on in the addictions and the problems you've had in the past, or you can take a drastic change this moment. I mean this moment. And your life will whirl around and turn around so fast it'll just blow you away. I promise you, it's what I'm seeing in the Spirit. That the Scripture, this Ephesians 3:20, the Holy Spirit's working in you. There's a power working in you that's trying to get you to take the right way. And if you'll do it, it'll blow you away. It'll amaze you and all those that are around you. But if you don't, if you play with God's Word and His promises. I don't mean to be harsh, but that's the way I believe the Spirit of God is speaking right now. That may not manifest as fast as you think. The last person in this church that was spoken to that to them, not by me, but by someone else, it took a year and a half or so, but it greatly revealed itself in total destruction. And I got a report the other day that same man spoke that same word to somebody about 3 months ago, and within 3 months he died. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God is going to become more powerful and more swift than you could ever imagine. Blessings and the other side of that fence. I believe in my spirit that God is tired of fooling around with people that won't believe Him. And He's going to make them make a choice. And you know what? This is a good word, Sam. It's not bad. It's a good word. Sure. Mine too. And I think everybody here. Now, let me respond, number one. I told you where that thought came from. I don't like it that you thought that I had a thought because somebody else had a thought. That isn't the way I work. I said by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you something. Number two, it's not enough to believe in God. The devil believes in God with all of his heart. I didn't think anything about believing in God. I said obedience to God's will. That's what I said. The devil is where he's at right now because he was against the will of God, not God. Do you understand? He believes in God. To this day, he believes in God and respects him greatly. What I'm telling you right now, that may be a hard pill to swallow, but I promise you he does. But he is in rebellion to God's will, which puts him where he's at. By the way, every bad place that I've ever been in, and I've been in many of them, and some of you have seen a few, they were my rebellion to God's will. That's what caused that. My rebellion to God's will. What I am speaking about, Sam, right now, is not, we're not talking about sin or believing, not believing in God. I'm not talking about that. I don't care what anybody says about you. I preached this morning about what God says about you. That's all I care about. That's all I care about at all about. Every person in here is what God says about you. Well, let me say it another way. That's all you need to worry about is what God says about you, not what anybody else says. Not what anybody else says. And if I didn't believe that, Sam, I tell you, I'd be a totally destroyed individual right now. I've had more attacks since I've been in the city of Denver than I've ever had in my entire life. I promise you that. And it don't make a bit of difference, because right now, this day, this morning, yesterday, God was confirming to me once again through His holy word that I'm one of His holy saints. No matter what anybody else says. Now that's my encouraging word to everybody in here. I still think it's a good word. I see nothing negative about the word that I've spoken this morning. By the way, anytime God speaks to you, it's never negative. You may not like it, but it wasn't negative. I've had, I shared this with you before. I went in a church one time, his ex-church. He trapped me into that, invited me into that, and they were going to have this thing. I didn't even know what it was, and I came to find out. And three guys, one of the guys stood up and said, you, we were sitting somewhere, and they said, come up here. My wife and I stood up there, and this great word came forth. He walked up and he said, God wants to let you know you're known as a bull in the china closet. Great. Just a real uplifting word. Bull in a china closet. You know, the problem is, everybody in the world had already told me that, and I didn't like it then, and I didn't like it at that moment either. There were some other great words that came out, but it seemed like the biggest word was the bull in the china closet. How come when our hearing is in effect, all we hear is bad stuff? It took several years going by, and my wife walked up to me one day, and she said, Stan, I know what that, finally know what that means. She said, there's china. You know, I have my grandmother's china that's real fancy and has got gold in it, and you can't even use it. And I remember in her china closet, it was there. Grandkids better not touch it. Nobody better touch it. That's an idol. And I'm the guy that breaks idols. That's what the word meant. After a season, it meant that. At the time, it meant an insult, but after a season, it meant God had called me to break your idols. So you better watch your china. I'm coming after your china. That thing that you won't let anybody touch, that thing that you value too much, I'm going to break it. That's what I'm called to do. And it's now positive, then it was negative. That's what I mean. It's a perception. The truth is always the truth when it's spoken from God. Amen? And all hearts clear? That's the main thing. All hearts clear. Once again, I will repeat what my wife said earlier. We're having a potluck downstairs. Everybody's welcome. Is that true? Everybody's welcome. If you didn't hear about it, you didn't bring. Everybody's welcome. Okay. Let's seal it with a kiss. Father, we look at you face to face, eye to eye, mouth to mouth. We receive from you that kiss of truth and love, that hug of the Holy Spirit. We receive from you the encouragement, the truth, the future. I ask you to take this word that you've so carefully put in my heart, and I have not so carefully spoken, but innocently spoken, and I ask you to perfect it. Perfect it in the heart of the receiver. Let it bring forth that magnificent, mighty harvest, far beyond anything we've ever thought or asked. Let it be seen. Let it bring forth the harvest. And for that, we'll be eternally grateful and continue to give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.